I have been really looking forward to the sermon series that we begin this week called Not So Superheroes. It's going to be a six-week series, and today we begin with Abraham and Sarah. And the main reason I've really been looking forward to this is that I love superheroes. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Every time there's a new Superman or Batman movie out, or Avengers movie, I'm one of the first ones there to see it. I can talk to you about the X-Men, or you name it. There's a whole bunch of them, and I like to kind of follow all of them. Now, of course, we know that these are made-up stories. They're just made-up stories, but that doesn't mean that there isn't something that we can't learn from some of these stories. For instance, we learn about courage. We learn about selflessness. We learn about honor, all of those things. It seems like when we pay attention to these kind of larger-than-life characters, what we wind up learning about is ourselves. And something that we see in these superheroes is that they have weaknesses too. For instance, even Superman, the most powerful superhero of all, has his kryptonite, and his arch nemesis Lex Luthor knows all about it. And Batman is another, you know, favorite superhero character, and he's human just like you and I are. He just happens to be extremely rich and extremely smart and extremely strong, and all of those things, you know, are what make him who he is. He also, though, has an anger problem. Once you become kind of familiar with his whole story, you know why that is. You see, every superhero has an origin story. Every one of them. They were either kind of born that way, or something happened to them in the midst of their lives that made them that way. I'm just going to go through a couple of quick origin stories for you. For instance, a boy by the name of Peter Parker was with his class going to a field trip to a science exhibit, and he got bit by a radioactive spider. And soon thereafter, he began to exhibit extraordinary powers, and he became Spider-Man. And Superman, he was born on the planet Krypton. And his father was a brilliant scientist by the name of Jor-El, and he wanted to at least save his son, so he put him in this little rocket, and he sent him to Earth, and he landed in a field in Kansas, and a farmer family adopted him, and then he became, from that point on, his secret identity was Clark Kent. And Batman inherited both his riches and his anger problem when he witnessed his parents' murder as a boy, and then he became the Caped Crusader, the Avenger that we all know and love as Batman. And finally, not to leave the women out, Wonder Woman. I actually had to look this one up. I didn't know her origin story. She came from a powerful race of warrior women called the Amazons. And there is speculation as well that her father might be Zeus. So there's that. But all of these stories have kind of one theme that runs through them that I think we want to pay attention to. And that is this. And this is actually a line from the very first Spider-Man story, and that is, with great power comes great responsibility. And I love that somebody has tied that to the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. When power came upon the first disciples, and they basically began to live, they were the kind of the frightened disciples, they became these powerful apostles. And you might say that we have also been empowered to do ministry, to be apostles, to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ, and to take his word and the gospel to the ends of the earth. Again, with great power and with great blessing comes great responsibility. And so that is our job. Now, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be taking a kind of a hard look at some of what I would call the superheroes of the Bible. And we're beginning today with Abraham and Sarah. We're going to look at their origin stories. We're going to look at their successes. We're also going to take a look at some of their lesser-known failures, because we don't generally focus on those, but the Bible is very careful to include those stories, and I believe that there is a reason for that. Because when we read these stories, we don't get depressed and say, well, I could never be like Abraham, I could never be like David, I could never be like Gideon or Sarah or any of those. We say, wow, those people were a lot like me. They were flawed. They made mistakes. They had feet of clay. And of course, the same is true for us. So let's start with the Abraham and Sarah's origin story. And they were their origin story comes pretty late in life. Genesis chapter 12, if you want to read it for yourself, you can read it there, is where it begins. And God comes knocking on their door when they're about 75 years old. And they're living in a little place called Ur. And that was found in ancient Mesopotamia, what scholars now call the Fertile Crescent, which was between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. It is said to be basically the cradle of civilization. It was here that the alphabet was developed. It was here that agriculture rose up. It was here that stable governments formed and communities formed. It was a great place to live. And which is all the more surprising that God would come and call Abraham and Sarah out of that. And that's what he was doing. He was saying, I want you to get up from this stable civilization place and go to a place that I will show you, a place that's wild, a place that I'm not, you know, you don't even know yet where you're going to land, but I need you to get up and go. And of course, the story could have ended right there. Abram could have said, thanks, but no thanks. But then this wouldn't be the origin story of a superhero. It'd be something else. He did say, yes, Lord, I will go. And for that reason, the world has been changed. And I'm sure you probably realize it, that the two great, three religions in the world today consider Abraham their father. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all look to Father Abraham. That is the impact that he has made, because he went up, he got up, and he went. And God said, I will make you a blessing. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to the whole world. And now we are the inheritors of that blessing. Not only of the blessing, but also the responsibility. Not only the power, but the responsibility that goes with that. And Paul picks up on that idea in Galatians, in our scripture reading today from chapter 3, where it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so it was his faith that saved him. So you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. We are descendants if we believe, not through genetic connections, not through biology, but through faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, we're the Gentiles, we're not Jews, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you, the whole world. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. Now, I was kind of curious as to how much people actually know about Abraham and Sarah, and so I kind of did a little survey, and by little I mean I asked our staff, and then I asked the guys that I meet with on Wednesdays for Dudes in the Diner, the Bible study, so it wasn't a big survey, but I got kind of an idea of what some of the people, what we know about these two, and so I'm going to present it to you kind of Family Feud style, and so the top answer in our survey is the call and the covenant, which probably shouldn't surprise us. So that's the number one. They answered the call. They got up and they went. And from that point on, they have been our example of what it looks like to answer the call of God and to enter into a covenant with him, to be blessed, to be a blessing. And the answer for the most popular answer, number two in our survey is, I'm going to get ahead of myself there, the sacrifice of Isaac. Now, this is a story like a lot of people know, and so this is one that comes up in people's minds. Abraham was called upon by God to sacrifice his son. And I mean, this is the one through whom the blessing is going to continue. This is the one through whom the whole world is going to be populated. And now God is saying, I want you to sacrifice your son. And Abraham answered that test of faith, and he was ready to go through with it. And then, of course, at the last minute, God provided a ram, and Abraham passed the test of faith, and Isaac was saved. And so we have that story, another story that illustrates Abraham's great faith. The third one, you've already got a clue as to what that one was. It is the story about how Sarah laughs. And this is a little less well known, but if you're familiar with the story, you may remember that when Sarah's like 100 years old, God comes to them and says, yes, I really am going to give you a child. You are going to bear your own child. And it says that she laughed out loud. And God didn't like that and said, did you just laugh out loud? And she said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. And so the name Isaac is actually a play on the Hebrew word for laughter. So that's where that comes from. Now we're getting a little bit more obscure, a little farther down the list we get. Survey question number 4 is, Abraham saves Sodom. Now, that's actually not exactly right. The better choice of words was that he negotiated for Sodom. He tried to this is where his son Lot lived as well, or his brother Lot lived. And he said, well, if there are 50 faithful men in this city, will you save it? And God says, okay, I'll do that. And then he negotiates down, 40, 30, 20, 5. And every time God says, yeah, if there are 5 faithful men in Sodom, I will spare it. Well, apparently there wasn't, because Sodom got destroyed. But it wasn't for Abraham's lack of trying. And the last answer on our survey is Abraham gives the first tithe. Again, a little more obscure story. On their way to the promised land, Abraham meets a high priest by the name of Melchizedek, and he gives him a tenth of all that he has, and in return he gets bread and wine as a almost like communion. And from that point on, the New Testament writers believed that Melchizedek was kind of a prefiguring or a foreshadowing of Jesus himself. And so those are the five top stories, and there's a lot of stories. Those are the top five. And so it occurs to me as I think about Abraham that he is just about as close to a superhero as we're going to find in Scripture. However, the Bible is kind of unique in that no one, other than Jesus, no one is really presented as being anything other than human, flawed and weak, who made their mistakes, some of which had some serious, fairly serious consequences. And Abraham was one of them. He was not perfect, and the Bible does not flinch from showing us that. Just a couple of examples. For instance, Abraham lied and told people that Sarah was his sister. Not once, but twice he did this. Once in Egypt and once when he was in another land, because he was just sure that the Pharaoh or the king was going to want to take his wife as his own bride, and he didn't want to be killed for that reason. And so he just told everybody that she was his sister, and then they did actually take her. And once they found out, because they brought curses down on their heads, they said, why didn't you just tell us she was your wife? So there was a lot of really unnecessary drama. Now that isn't as bad as what we're going to read about next. This is the one that's probably had the biggest impact on our world in a lot of ways. And this story is found in Genesis chapter 16, where it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said to Abram, you see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Now remember, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that he would give them children, and that from those children the whole earth would be populated. But see, at this point, like 10 years had passed or something like that, and she wasn't getting any younger, and she was afraid that it wasn't going to happen. And so they took matters into their own hands. Now, some people would say that where Abram went wrong was when he listened to the voice of his wife. But I don't want to really belabor that point at all, because we have a lot of wives here. But let's just put it this way. They both should have been listening to the voice of God, and not trying to take care of this on their own, and that's what got them into so much trouble. Now, the results of the sin were pretty much a disaster from the very beginning. Right away, Sarah regrets her decision, and she hates Hagar. And when the baby comes, she hates the baby. And they're very clear. I mean, it's talk about a dysfunctional family. I mean, I've never watched these reality TV shows with the housewives and all that, but that's what this was like. It was bad. And at one point, Sarah sends Hagar out with the baby out into the wilderness to die. She says, I just want you out of here. And that was like a death sentence, and Hagar knew it. So she goes out into the wilderness, out into the desert, and she lays her baby under a bush, and she says, I don't even want to watch him have to, I don't want to watch him die. So she goes off by herself. And at that point, God comes to her, sends through an angel, and says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I am going to protect you, and I'm going to protect your son. And so we read in Genesis 21, the angel of the Lord also said to her, I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for the multitude. And then a few verses later, the angel describes who Ishmael is going to be. He is going to be a wild ass of a man, with his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall live at odds with all his kin. Now, if you're familiar with this story, you may also know that Ishmael is considered to be the father of all Arab people. So when you see things blowing up in the Middle East, like they have almost from the very beginning, guess who we have to blame for that? Good old Father Abraham. If he hadn't taken things into his own hands, that may not have happened, but it did. And so what we see is that Abraham and Sarah, again, were not such superheroes after all. They really weren't. They were human, just like we are. And they made mistakes, and sometimes there were great consequences for their lack of faith and for their sin. However, that doesn't mean the totality of their story isn't an amazing one, because it is. If they hadn't answered that call, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have received the blessing that we receive. And so there's two lessons that we learn from Abraham and Sarah. The first is that we're likely to make mistakes too. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. And usually it comes when we try to rely on our own strength and our own common sense, when we think, I can do this on my own. I can do this without any help. And the second one is that when we believe and trust in God, in his guidance and care, we can also change the world. Imperfect as we are, feet of clay, all of that, we can still change the world, and we can be superheroes of faith. We have received the blessing of Abraham. We received the salvation and the example that we get in Jesus Christ, and we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to take this ministry out into the world. And in the words of Spider-Man, don't forget, with great power also comes great responsibility. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you desire nothing more than to be in relationship with us, to bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. You have given us great power. Help us to respond to that. With responsibility, with care, and with love. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.